You can go through life, oh, of course he's Jesus Christ. But you might think that's his last name. You might not know that it's telling you something about him. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Oh, my Lord.
Because the prophecies of the Christ were in place hundreds of years before Jesus was ever heard of.
Yes.
Before the virgin conceived.
Amen.
But when that virgin brought forth, Gabriel come to the shepherds and said unto you, this day in the city of David is born to you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How can that mean anything to these shepherds out in the field? Why do they leave everything and take off for Bethlehem? How can it mean anything? They've never heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He's only been born this night. But when they hear that He is Christ, you know what they hear? The one that will make an end of sins has been born. He has been born. The one that will bring in everlasting righteousness has been born. Look at Simeon. Jesus, 8 days old, taken to the temple to be baptized. The old man of God, Simeon. Hallelujah. Was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that you won't taste death until you've seen the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Christ.
Amen.
He walks into the temple while they're circumcising the baby Jesus. He looks at that baby. He takes him in his arms. Said, now God, let thy servant die in peace. Because mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! But I want to tell you something, people. It's not a baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes that abides in me. And it's not a 12-year-old Jesus confounding the lawyers in Jerusalem that abides in me, that abides in you that believe. It's not. And it's not a man that was going about anointed of God doing good, healing all, that's oppressing the devil. That is Christ after the flesh that Paul said we henceforth we know Him no more. Praise God. We can preach the Jesus of the miracles, the Jesus of the manger, the Jesus confounding the wise men. We can preach all these things that He did in the days of His flesh, which were confirmation of who He was. But we don't preach what He did. We haven't preached anything. Praise God. The Scripture tells me the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. Hallelujah. But in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it says, when He cometh into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. I tripped over that for years. I'm pretty simple-minded. I really am. I said, I can't see that baby Jesus squalling, you know, hungry for a nipple. Squalling in that manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, and then stopping, lifting up and said, Father, sacrifice and offer thou wouldest not, but a body is thou prepared. I can't see the baby Jesus doing that. It's talking about Christ the eternal when He cometh into the world. The Christ of prophecy. Praise God. The one that John spoke of in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with it. All things were made by Him. It's talking about the Christ, brother. The Christ. All things were made by Him. And when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I come to do thy will, O God. And it's a Christ that is saying that. As the Word is made flesh in the womb of Mary. That flesh is made in the womb of Mary, but it's the Christ that a body is prepared for. I come to do thy will, O God. And Paul picks it up in the 10th verse of Hebrews 10, by the which will that He came to do, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We are sanctified. It is finished.
Hallelujah.
Twenty-something years ago, struggling with sin in my imaginations and thoughts and dreams, I'd preached on nearly 8 or 10 radio stations in several states. And I was receiving visions from God about the scandals that were coming. Some of y'all remember those days. Probably Brother and Sister Jacobs do back here. Of course, my wife. I was having visions of things that happened before they happened. I was preaching them on the radio. I saw the PTL scandal 2 weeks before it happened, and the day that I preached it, it was aired the day that it happened. That was pretty amazing. Happened, aired at 10 o'clock the day that it was exposed at 5 o'clock that same day. The scandal in Baton Rouge, I saw 3 years to the month before that it happened. And I loved that ministry at that time. You know, I did. And I couldn't understand the vision that I had. I didn't see what happened. But I saw that ministry as a train on a track filled with passengers and going full speed down a track. And I said, that train is unstoppable. And I saw it go 3 miles. I saw this in February of 1985 in a time of fasting and prayer. And 3 years later, the scandal broke. But I saw that train go 3 miles out into the wilderness and ran out of track. And the train and the passengers that were in it were just tumbling out through the wilderness. Just no track. A train that was unstoppable ran out of track. I saw that 3 years before, and 3 months before the scandal broke, God told me to go on WLUX radio in Baton Rouge, which is on the campus of that ministry. And I went there to meet the manager of the station to sign a contract, and I saw all those beautiful gold-trimmed buildings that were there. I heard the Spirit speak, said, as for these beautiful buildings which you see, the hour comes that not one stone will be left upon another. And I knew He was not talking about a natural disaster or destruction, but those particular buildings are IRS buildings today, leased to government offices and so on. The gold trim is gone. And I'm preaching this right from that campus. The students get in an uproar. I'm not calling names, but they perceive what I'm talking about. And they rise up and they demand that I be thrown off the air. Ted Sausman, a man with flaming red hair, redder than your blouse, was the manager of that station. He told me, he said, I've never faced up an uprising, an uproar against a preacher in my life. They were demanding that you be thrown off the air. He said it got so big. He said I had to go above to find out what to do. And he told me, he said, above means to the family. He said, I didn't know what to do. And he said, the word came back. Leave Brother Surface alone. He's preaching the truth. Came from the family. I had no idea what it would be, but 3 months later it broke. It happened. God had told me of 3 years of these happenings in a vision in 1986. But by the end of that 3 years, I'd seen so many preachers and ministries fall to scandal and shame, and possibly due to the fact that I had myself been backslidden a number of years before, I couldn't handle it no more. I said, God, I'm condemning preachers that I have no answer for. Elihu told Job's comforters, he said, you've condemned Job, but you've found no answer. And I got to the place I felt like a Job's comforter. I was condemning everybody for sin. And I did not have an answer for the sin problem, except don't do it. That's not an answer. And I sincerely came to the place that I told God in 1989. I said, if you can give me visions of scandals before they come, if you can give me visions of things to come and they happen just as I saw in the vision, if you can do that, surely, God, that you can give me an answer for the sin problem that's in the heart of man.
Amen. Amen.
And I said, God, if you don't do that, I will close my Bible and never preach again. That wasn't a threat. It was just that I could not keep condemning sin without giving an answer for sin. There's got to be an answer. Nancy Reagan came out with the Just Say No to Drugs initiative back in the 80s. That might work for that one that's never taken a drug. He can say no to the drug. But the one that's taken that first drug cannot say no.
Amen.
And that sinner cannot say no.
My Lord.
He cannot, by the force of his willpower, sanctify himself and clean himself up. He cannot do it. He's a slave. He's a prisoner. It doesn't matter if he's pastored a church or reaching a million people. If it's in his heart, at some time, it's going to come out.
That's right.
If it's in his heart, sometime, and he can't get it out of his heart, he can't do it. I prayed that prayer, and every door of revival closed to me. I couldn't find nowhere to preach. The Lord did speak to me. He said, go back to your church in Houston. He said, there's a foundation to be laid that you've never laid in all your years of ministry. There's a foundation to be laid. I went back to the church seeking God for an answer. He led me first to the blood of Jesus. First message I preached here in 1991 was on the missing ingredient, the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus. 2 years later, he led me to the cross where our old man is crucified. And I began to preach the cross and the blood that sanctifies, the cross that crucifies.